The quest to defend more than just a championship lives right here. New England Patriots coverage on CLNSradio.com. We want to hear from you, so call in right now. The phone lines are open, 929-477-2386.
Good evening, Pats Nation. This is the CLNS Patriots post-game show. I am your host, Marvin Azan, and tonight we have a special co-host in Michael Landry. What's going on, man?
What's up, Marv? How you doing tonight, man? Good to be here.
I'm good. Just watched a pretty entertaining preseason game, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know what? I kept saying it throughout the entire game. I kept just saying in my head, wow, I really like a lot of the players on this team. Like, even third, fourth string guy, I just really like all of the guys on this team.
No, I definitely hear what you're saying. When you watch these players work hard and everything, they're very likable characters. And like even in the third and fourth quarter when people usually zone out, I found myself really paying attention on who's playing. Like, wow, this guy – really, I think it's because of the potential. We see the potential in these players, and like these guys can really be a huge fit for the Patriots coming down in the future.
Well, you know, it was especially true, you know, guys like, you know, obviously the defensive line, we've seen a lot of injuries. Obviously, you know, Rob Ninkovich is going to be out for a while. We just found out this afternoon that Alan Branch is suspended by the team for some reason. So, I mean, and then you also have other injuries along the line. You have guys like Anthony Johnson, Rufus Johnson, Trey Flowers all stepping up and showing that, hey, if a guy gets hurt, you know, the rotation really isn't going to suffer that much. They've got a lot of depth, on, especially on the defensive line.
Now, you mentioned Ninkovich being out. You mentioned Branch being injured. But while you, like you said, when you watch this defense, you couldn't really tell that there were starters that were not playing on the defensive line. Like, they played really well. And Trey Flowers started this game tonight and was unbelievable. He looked like a starting defensive end, and he was going up against, you know, a starting offensive line, but he was really looking very good for me.
Yeah, I mean, he's been impressive. He absolutely has. He was impressive in his, you know, he had a sack last week, had another sack this week. He is a really impressive looking player, and you know, it's especially, like I said, with all these injuries that seem to be popping up, you know, slowly but surely, you know, he's going to be a guy that's probably going to be depended on to get some serious snaps in this game, as well as Chris Long. Chris Long got the start on the other side tonight,
yep.
And, you know, he looked really good. So, I mean, I'm really liking where we're at on defensive line. Obviously, I think our linebacking core is one of the best, if not the best, in the entire NFL. And then the defensive backs all look really good. You know, Cyrus Jones, who's been my guy since they drafted him, he had a pick tonight. He had a takeaway last week. You know, guys like that really stepping up in these first couple of preseason games, it's showing me a lot. Showing me a lot.
I definitely hear you on that. New England Patriots faced off the Chicago Bears tonight. Score ended up being 23-22. But in all honesty, if you didn't watch the game, it was never that close at all. I mean, they just scored in the last second.
The very last play of the game.
Very last second of the game, and they even converted a two-point play to even make it closer, but it was never that close. Garoppolo started once again, and Garoppolo looked really good. Like, compared to last week, you can definitely see improvements. He started off slow again, but come second quarter, even in the second half of the first quarter, he looked very comfortable and poised out there.
That's so funny, Marv. I literally have written down in my notes here, Garoppolo started slow again, but I liked the way he bounced back, and I liked how he came out in the second half. That second half drive coming out at halftime, I know that's huge for Belichick, that second half adjustment. He brought out all the starters for that first drive of the second half, and they drove down. They didn't get a touchdown. They ended up with a field goal, but they really drove the ball down the field well, a good mix of run and pass. I think he's shown a lot of improvement. I'm totally with you. And then how can you argue with 16 for 21,
181
yards and a touchdown?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, how can you argue with that?
No, and once again, the second game, no interceptions. He hasn't given up the ball. And what's one thing Patriots hate is giving up the football. And Garoppolo has been great at that so far. And another thing, he was not sacked. Last week, you know, it looked like he held on to the ball a lot. This week, he got rid of the ball. He wasn't sacked at all. So that was huge. And my highlight, you were speaking on how he came out in the second half. My highlight was that impressive 2-minute drill that he did in the second quarter. You know, he went off 7 plays, 57 yards in a minute and 25 seconds. That capped off with a touchdown to A.J. Derby and then a 2-point conversion with Chris Hogan. So that was beautiful. I loved seeing that 2-minute drill.
I'm glad you mentioned A.J. Derby. He's my guy today. This week, he's my star of the game. I know it's a little early to be saying that, but he is my guy this week. I mean, 6 catches, 71 yards, and a touchdown. He looks like a full-grown man out there. I think he's really pushing for that third tight end spot. I mean, we all know Gronkowski's, you know, got a little bit of an injury problem. We all know that Martellus Bennett is a guy who could be on or he could be off. So a guy like A.J. Derby, who's young, has got to prove himself, I think he could really make a push for a roster spot.
Definitely. Coming into Canton, you know, it seemed like the third tight end guy was going to be Clay Harbor. They signed him, and he looked like he was going to be the future. But A.J. Derby, these past 2 games, really cemented himself as a key weapon for Garoppolo and Brissett. And there was one play down the field on the sideline where he had 2 defenders on him. He went up and got it, knew he was going to get hit. It was just a crazy catch. And what I've been hearing throughout camp, he's just been doing that throughout a whole training camp, and he's really cementing himself as that third tight end right now.
And, you know, something that I didn't know is that he's actually a converted quarterback. He played quarterback for 3 years in college and then tight end his senior year. So he's a guy who hasn't even really blossomed in the tight end spot yet. And, I mean, you could get some serious production out of him if he continues on this path. So I think that would be really good. I also like Chris Hogan out there today. 4 catches for 53 yards. You know, he's a guy who I was a little nervous about that shoulder injury last week in practice, but he came back, cleared for full contact. We saw him today for the first time, and I think he's going to have a decent role in this offense.
Chris Hogan, another guy who really stepped up in the offense this week. And what's going to be very interesting now is, now that Chris Hogan, we've been seeing him a little more, is that third wide receiver spot, because you have Edelman. You have Amendola, and we saw what Malcolm Mitchell did that first week. We saw what Chris Hogan did, and, you know, you still got Dobson and Harper, those guys fighting for a position. So I think it's really going to come down to Mitchell and Hogan, who's going to hold down that third wide receiver spot. Hogan played well, 4 receptions, 53 yards. You know, the longest drive was 25-yarder. He looked good out there, and very, very impressed to see what Chris Hogan did.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that it's going to be – and I don't know about you, but I think I'm getting close to the point where I'm getting a little bit nervous about these guys on the physically unable to perform list, namely Amendola, Deion Lewis, Sebastian Vollmer, guys like that, who, I mean, we're now at the end of the second preseason game, and we haven't seen Deion Lewis at all on the field. We've seen Danny Amendola running, but he hasn't been wearing pads and hasn't really been participating, and then we haven't really seen Sebastian Vollmer. So these guys, I'm starting to get a little concerned, and especially at the wide receiver spot, Amendola, if he's missing for the first few weeks, that just makes it more important for Chris Hogan to really kind of find his role in this offense and be a real contributor.
I hear you on that, and I'm not as worried about Danny Amendola as much as I am about Deion Lewis, because I feel like our running back position right now is still a little more shaky than our wide receiver. If we miss Danny Amendola for the first 6 weeks, I think we'll still be all right. We'll be able to recover with that, with the wide receiver depth that we have. But losing Deion Lewis will be a big blow. I mean, he hasn't really been practicing at all, really. It's the second week into the preseason. We haven't heard anything new on him. It's getting a little worrisome. I mean, we know we have Gaffney. Blunt played pretty well today. Bolden had a gaffe when he fumbled. We're not solidified in that running back position, in my opinion. Deion Lewis would be a big blow if he can't get up that pup list.
Yeah, you know, I did. I thought LeGarrette Blount, I know we were kind of a little down on him last week. He didn't have a very good game. I think he had like 9 carries for 20 yards, something like that. This week he was a lot better, 11 carries for 69 yards and that touchdown. But, you know, I totally agree with you. Deion Lewis is definitely a linchpin to this offense. We saw it last year. I mean, he goes out in week 9, and then the offense really kind of struggled after that. And, you know, it losing Edelman at one point didn't help either. But obviously, he's a guy who you're going to want playing. I'm concerned about I said this last week, and I really would like to see James White run the football more. He didn't get a single carry in this game. He did have 2 catches for 17 yards. He didn't play many snaps. But I don't know. I'm not entirely sold on LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount is like exactly what he did tonight is like what you're going to get from him. You're going to get 1 week, you're going to get 9 carries for 20 yards. You're going to get no production out of him. And the next week, you're going to get, you know, 6.3 yards a carry, a touchdown or two, and he's going to look really good. And it's just the inconsistency that I'm not on board with. And like you said, if you don't have Deion Lewis, you don't really have anybody else to make up for that production.
Exactly what my point with Blount. And Gaffney, you know, Gaffney had the same amount of carries as LeGarrette Blount. I definitely want to see a lot of Gaffney today. I want to see how he could do running down the middle, running through the trenches. And he didn't really impress that much. I mean, he looked good, but nothing that says, okay, wow, we definitely have a run. 11 carries, 31 yards. It was subpar. It was definitely subpar. He had the same amount of carries as LeGarrette Blount. Like you said, LeGarrette had a good game, but he's a hit or miss, man. You really don't know what you're going to get out of LeGarrette Blount week by week. And he's a guy, I don't know if he'll make it out of camp. You know, you got Joey Yusofa. He didn't really play that well either. Brandon Bolden, consistent running back. James White didn't get no carries, which I'm really shocked. And didn't get any much burn, really. Those 2 catches from the backfield, but not much out of James White this week. I don't know if that was a plan to really get Tyler Gaffney going, see what he could do. But the running back's going to be a big key for coming up in this camp and starting the season, really, because we don't want a new quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. You don't want to depend on his arm the whole time. You definitely want to have a good running balance. And Deion Lewis will be key for that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think Tyler Gaffney, you know, he did. I like how he hits the hole. I think he hits the hole really hard. He gets up to full speed quick. Yeah. So, I mean, I like that. It might have had something to do with, you know, going against, you know, with the third team or the second team and third team offensive linemen. I think we all can agree that the Patriots offensive line has pretty much zero depth at this point. So when you're throwing out the second and third team guys, you're just throwing bodies out there. And I think that could have affected it. But if you can get him running behind a semi-consistent offensive line, I think he could have, you know, maybe one. Remember Joey Yusefa, you just mentioned his name. He had that one really nice game last year. I think Tyler Gaffney could definitely do that during the regular season, have like one of those games where he comes out and he rushes for, you know, 90 yards or something like that, maybe a couple touchdowns. They feature him, and then maybe you don't see him again. You know, a Jonas Gray type of thing.
I definitely hear you on that. The call lines are open, the Blue Apron call lines. Get 3 free meals with free shipping by simply going to blueapron.com/Celticsbeat. First on deck is Joe Schmo. But moving on, I definitely want to speak on the defense. A guy that I didn't really hear about much, Anthony Johnson. You know, this is an undrafted rookie from 2014 that was signed by the Dolphins, I believe, then was cut. Then Redskins signed him this past year, cut him, and Patriots picked him up 7 days later, and he really impressed this week. You know, he got a couple of tackles for losses, helped with a sack, and he brought energy, too. You could see he was having fun out there, and he played with the starters. Belichick definitely sees something in Anthony Johnson.
I agree, and I think I was really impressed with him. I mean, he played really well. He looks like he knows he belongs out there. You know, he's obviously, like you said, he played a little bit for the Dolphins, didn't get much run there, but did play a little bit. And, yeah, he was one of the impressive guys out there. Like I said, if you're going to have injuries like this on the defensive line where you're going to be missing guys like, you know, obviously you're missing Alan Branch because of a suspension now. You're going to be missing Rob Ninkovich for a little while. Jabal Sheard was banged up, and he didn't play. He hasn't practiced in a week. And he didn't play today. So if you're going to be getting guys that are banged up like this, you're going to need other guys to step up. And Trey Flowers and Anthony Johnson were the two guys this week that really stepped up and played really well. Rufus Johnson as well came out and played really well on the defensive line. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that the defensive line is one of the spots on the team where the depth is so good that it's almost like I wish we could transfer some of that depth to some other parts of the team. You know what I mean? Like running back, for example. I wish we had more depth at running back and maybe a little less depth at defensive line, because we just have so many players that you can rotate through there. I think it's really a good situation, especially when you get injuries like this.
Yeah, our defense is stacked. Bottom line is our defense is really stacked. We definitely have versatility in there, and we can move players around, which, you know, Bill Belichick loves. Another thing on defense, our secondary, which you mentioned earlier, looked really good. I liked what I saw from Butler. You know, Butler is always going to be consistent, plays hard. He was all over Alshon. And Cyrus Jones, you said that's your guy, man. I love Cyrus Jones. I was so happy when we picked him up. And he got a chance to start today, and he really showed up. He got that interception for 14 yards. He looked good today in the punt return, too, which is something we know he can be very dynamic, and we're waiting to see him really break one loose. But Cyrus Jones was a guy who really impressed this tonight against the Bears.
Yeah, I liked what I saw. I liked how he jumped that route on the interception. I like how he looked. I mean, you know, he's a guy who obviously, I mean, he played at Alabama. So he played in a pro-style defense with a guy who, a coach who coached in the pros, was a defensive coordinator in the pros in Nick Saban, a guy who runs a tight ship, make a lot of his players end up in the NFL and end up doing really well. So, you know, I think that he's going to be a guy. I think I mentioned it last week on the show. I said, you know, hey, they don't give number 24 to just any guy.
To nobody.
You know? So, I mean, the kid's got to live up to it. And I know it's only been two games, and you can't say, oh, he's living up to it now. But, I mean, he's got a takeaway. He recovered a fumble in week one. He had an interception this week. He's the guy who, like you said, can return punts and has that dimension to his game. It looks like he's a good tackler, you know? So he's the guy who is going to make a contribution on this team. I think he's going to be your starting nickel corner on opening day, week one, September 11th. I think he's going to be your nickel corner this year, for sure.
Wow, that's big claims. I mean, we definitely got to see more of him, but I would not be surprised to see him there because he has all the intangibles, like you were saying. But, you know, we mentioned earlier how the Patriots did not start off fast right off the jump. It was a slow start. Bears came up, opened up the game 11-0 when it was starters versus starters on the field. And it didn't look too good. I mean, Langford got loose a couple of times. He looked pretty good. There was a couple of defensive holding penalties on Coleman, Patrick Chung, some third down stops that we couldn't get that ended up having the Bears have an 11-play touchdown drive to begin the game. It wasn't the defense's best work to start off.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, it's definitely a little, I mean, it's a little disheartening to see that, you know, they kind of drove right down the field. I guess you can take a little bit of solace in the fact that, hey, the Bears did drive all the way down the field on that first drive, and then they were forced to kick a field goal. So, I mean, that's kind of been a staple of the Patriots defense, that quote-unquote bend but don't break type of situation. So, I mean, I guess you can take some solace in that. But, you know, after that, I mean, if you look at the kind of the scoring line on this, you know, the Bears start out 11-0, like you said. But after that, New England goes on a 23-0 run before Chicago scores 11 points in the fourth quarter to make it close at the end there. But, I mean, the Patriots defense, I thought, was really impressive for most of the night. And like I said, it was guys who wasn't necessarily the starters. It wasn't necessarily all the, you know, Jamie Collins and Dont'a Hightower and all those guys who usually make all the noise. It was Anthony Johnson. It was Ramon Humber, who played really well tonight. It was, you know, Jordan Richards, who I thought played really well tonight. It was all these other guys who are, you know, fighting for roster spots and, you know, fighting to make their spot on the team. I think those are the guys who really stepped up and played really well in the middle portions of the game, like the second and third quarter when they just shut the Bears out completely.
Yeah, the second quarter especially was key when they held the Bears to no first downs at all throughout that second quarter. Really shut down defense. took over, had some takeaways, and Jimmy had the offense rolling. It was a beauty to see, and signs hopefully we see during the season. If we can really get that defense going, you know, we do have guys out. You have Jabal Sheard, who also did not play. And we do have injuries, some injury concerns, but, you know, still a long way till September 11th. So we're hoping we can get guys ready to go. Some interesting news. Tom Brady was supposed to actually play today, and then, you know, a couple minutes before the game, maybe 30 minutes before, he sliced his finger, I guess, using scissors, and ended up not playing this game. Me personally, I said this last week, I'm going to say it again, Tom Brady should not play a down this preseason at all. It makes no sense to me. I don't see the point of having Tom Brady out there. There's no point. Don't have Tom Brady out there. I think that was a sign that Brady cut his finger. It was like, yeah, man, just let it go. We'll see you week five.
You know, I thought kind of along similar lines there today. I was thinking, wow, I mean, at this point, now we're after the second preseason game. Next week, the third preseason game is the quote-unquote dress rehearsal game where you want to play your starters for, you know, a almost the entire game and the one that's most like a real game. So at this point, I mean, when are you going to play Tom Brady? You're not going to bring Tom Brady in the fourth quarter of the third preseason game, and you're not going to bring him in the fourth preseason game when nobody's playing. So, I mean, at this point, you're probably right. There's really no reason to bring him in and have him play. I think all the more snaps for Jimmy Garoppolo probably the better at this point.
But what would be the point of having Tom Brady play? What does that do for him come later down in week five? It would do nothing but put him in risk of injury. I don't see any point of having Tom Brady out there at all during the preseason. Let Jimmy get his snaps. He needs more work. I mean, week one, he had a slow start. So why would you want Tom Brady to start week two and slow that momentum down? Have Jimmy get all the snaps he can get. He needs the work. He needs to be ready for week one.
And you know, I think that was kind of reinforced today when you saw that Jimmy Garoppolo, once again, he started a little slow, but then he really turned it on and he played really well today. So you can tell that he's getting better. You can tell that he got better from week one to week two. So we know that so far. Okay, so he's gotten better from week one to week two. Now, can he get better from week two to week three? So we know he's going to start week three because that, like I said, is the dress rehearsal game. That's the game where everyone's going to be playing. And, you know, by the way, I'm sure we'll talk about the Patriots-Panthers a little later on, but that's a great test for a dress rehearsal game. That is a great test for a young quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo to see what he really has in a game that doesn't really count, but it's going to count for all of us watching for sure. But, you know, back to the game tonight, you know, I think you're right. I think Jimmy Garoppolo at this point needs the snaps. Tom Brady, I think if he had started this game, he would have played the first series, and that would have been it. And, because you know, I reported during the Patriots newsfeed podcast earlier today that, hey, you know, Ian Rappaport of NFL.com, he was reporting that, well, Brady's going to see little to no snaps today. And so I assumed, okay, well, he's going to play. And then I saw that Mike Reese had tweeted out that, well, if Brady does play, then he's going to start. So I'm thinking, okay, well, Brady will start. He'll play one series. And then all of a sudden you hear, you know, like you said, a half hour before game time that he cut his finger open with a pair of scissors. Like, first of all, why is he using scissors a half hour before the game? But, you know, I mean, just
the sorry of the night candidate right there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what is that? What are you doing? First of all, do you not have somebody, if he's cutting his tape or whatever he's doing, does he not have someone doing that for him at this point?
I heard he was trying to get something out of his cleats or something.
I don't know. All right, well, that's, you know what, that's something that you just, at this point, you play in the NFL, you're a professional athlete, you just kind of leave that to the equipment manager. I'm sure you probably have another pair of cleats that you could wear if you really have that much of an issue with it. So, I mean, I don't know. I think maybe it was just a random excuse to get him out of, you know, he didn't play tonight. I, you know, last week, I know I don't want to say it was an excuse last week where he was excused because of he attended a family memorial service. But, you know, hey, I mean, there's 2 weeks in a row where he has an excuse to not play. Next week, he's got a built-in excuse because, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo needs that start. And then the fourth preseason game is also kind of a built-in excuse because, hey, no one plays in the fourth preseason game. That's a game for fringe roster players to make their case on making the team or not. So I think at this point you might be right. I think there's really no reason to bring him in. There's really no reason for him to start. I don't think we're going to see him play for the remainder of the preseason.
We better not. Like, who makes that call? Was that Belichick's call to say, okay, Brady, let's get a couple reps? Or was that Brady saying, hey, man, I just want to get out there and, you know, get a couple throws in, get knock a couple rust off? But because remember now, there's a possible chance he could have played week one if he didn't have, you know, a family emergency or whatnot. There was a chance he could have played week one. There's a chance he was supposed to play this week, but then he cut his finger. So who's to say he won't play week three? It's still up there.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely fair. I think it's probably a collaborative effort between the two sides. I think that Brady definitely wants to be out on the field. I'm sure that that's the case. I mean, he's just a competitive monster, and he always wants to be out on the field. So I'm sure there's that. But I'm sure at the same time, I mean, we've heard it from Bill Belichick pretty much from the start of training camp. Once we found out that Tom Brady was going to be suspended, Bill Belichick said, hey, our number one priority is getting Jimmy Garoppolo ready. That's the number one priority. So I mean, I think if Belichick had his way, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo gets the start next week. I think that if any game, you know, Tom Brady was going to play in any game, it would have either been week one last week or this week. So I keep going back to I really don't see any point in bringing him in at this point. You're not going to bring him in next week. You're not going to have him start next week or anything like that because Jimmy Garoppolo is going to want to get the full experience of an NFL-type game in that third preseason game. And then you're not going to start him week four because, what, are you going to put him behind the offensive linemen who are just barely trying to make the team, could be cut tomorrow? You're going to put him throwing to guys who aren't even going to make the team, and there's no reason to get any chemistry with these guys. So, I mean, there's really no reason to see him in any of the next two preseason games. And, you know, maybe just have him work with stuff on the side and just throw every single week until he comes back. I mean, I don't really know what else you can do.
I'm glad you're on my side, man. I know there's Brady lovers out there. They want to see the GOAT. They want to see him out there and play. But, guys, you have to understand, his time will come right now. It is Jimmy G's time. We just got to let it go for a little bit. Let Jimmy Garoppolo get some work in. I mean, it looked good. It looked good this week. I liked seeing progress. Next week, like you said, with Carolina Panthers, that's the NFC champs. One of the best defenses out there. It's going to be a huge test for them. Hopefully, we see more players out there, more weapons for Jimmy Garoppolo to use, but with the Patriots right now, you never know. You guys, you have Edelman out, Amendola out. We haven't even seen running backs like Donald Brown playing. So we have a lot of guys in there that are just not playing right now. And it is a little worrisome. Are you worried about any of the injuries? I know you mentioned Danny Amendola, but are there any other injuries you're like, whoa, are these guys going to play? Are they even going to make the cut?
Well, I mean, I think Sebastian Vollmer is a guy who – he's obviously, you know, the most experienced offensive lineman on the team at this point. He's a guy who has been, you know, kind of the mainstay at right tackle. I was driving from one spot to another when I was listening in, I believe it was the second quarter at one point, and Scott Zolak on the radio was saying, hey, they just don't have any guys who can get that real push, that initial punch off the offensive line. And he pointed out in particular, he said, Sebastian Vollmer is a guy who really – just moves the needle. He moves the defensive line back. He's got that initial punch. So I think he's a guy who you're definitely going to want to see. Jonathan Cooper, another offensive lineman. You can sense a pattern here. You're gonna want the offensive line to be consistent. And he's a guy who you traded Chandler Jones away for this guy, Jonathan Cooper, who was, you know, number 10 overall pick when he got drafted. He's had injury problems. He's got injury problems now. It's a foot problem, if I remember correctly, a plantar fascia issue. So he's a guy who I want to see out on the field. I want to see what he's got because, I mean, they say he's got all the physical tools. He's just had injury problems. And, I mean, we're seeing that firsthand right now. You just traded away a guy who, in Chandler Jones, who is a sack producer, He had a great year last year, and you traded away for a guy who right now is injured and hasn't played a single snap. So that's an issue. And, you know, so I want to see those guys. I'm getting a little worried about the offensive line for sure.
The offensive line for the past couple years has been shaky, but a guy who I did enjoy watching is Joe Tooney. I think
Tooney,
he's a baller. I love what I'm seeing from him. Just watching him real close today, he really gets out there. He even brings it out to the second level as well. He helped Gaffney and Blunt on their big runs, and he's special. I think we got a steal out of Tooney. He looks like a first rounder to me, and he's going to be a big help into our offense.
Yeah, I mean, everything that I've read, I mean, I've been doing I do the Newsfeed podcast every day, and every day I look at the offensive line. Who got the first team reps at the offensive line? And Joe Tooney gets the offensive reps, first team reps at left guard every single day. I think this guy is your starting left guard on opening day. This is a stat it's not a stat, but it's just a little note about Tooney that I keep going back to, and I heard about it first when he got drafted. And I just couldn't believe it. He's a guy who considers himself a guard. He's been playing left guard, obviously. But he played left tackle his entire senior year at NC State. He played left tackle, the most difficult position on the offensive line. And he was an all-conference player at left tackle. So, I mean, he's a guy who you can – I mean, it's the definition of a Belichick guy. He's versatile. I've reported that he's been doing snaps at center during training camp. So he's a guy who's been moving literally all over the offensive line. He's been a mainstay at left guard. He's a guy, I think you're right. I mean, I think he is a first-round talent. He's a guy who is going to be an absolute steal that you just got in the third round. And like I said, I mean, I think he's the starter of week one. No question about it.
It's crazy. We didn't have a first-round pick, but I'm liking our draft more and more by what I'm seeing. Cyrus Jones, Malcolm Mitchell, Tooney. These guys are really out there putting work. And these are players that we're going to see have big roles week one, I believe. And that just goes to show you, man, how the Patriots work when it comes to drafting. They do not play around. They have big misses. But I think this year they really hit. They really hit the nail. And make sure you guys, you know, call in. The Blue Apron call lines is on 929-477-2386. I'm here with Mike Alonji. But the rookies are looking good, Alonji. I'm loving what I'm seeing.
They really are. You know, I mean, we mentioned Cyrus Jones. He had that nice interception today. He's a guy who I've had my eye on for a long time. We just talked about Joe Tooney, who, you know, I think is going to be the starting left guard. And, you know, I wish that Malcolm Mitchell didn't dislocate his elbow last week. But, I mean, the fact that – I mean, we talked about it last week. Wow, it looked like an ugly injury. And then, you know, 4 days later, he's on the practice field running around. He's got a brace on. He's wearing full pads. Now, he didn't participate in practice fully. But, I mean, he was on the field in full pads 4 days after his arm bent the wrong way. So, I mean,
it was ugly. Ugly.
It was ugly. It was ugly. And, you know, I was shocked. I was looking and shocked that he was on the field again 4 days later. And I also was shocked to hear that Rob Ninkovich was also on the field that day. So, I mean, either these guys aren't as injured as we think, and we're going to see them sooner rather than later, or they're just tough as nails, man. It could be a combination of the two. But the fact that he was back out on the field 4 days after dislocating his elbow like that, I've got some high hopes for him. I said last week in my little spot on the show, I said, hey, I mean, he looked like a man out there. He looks like he belongs out there. Physically, he looks like he belongs. He runs good routes. He's a big guy. And I'm excited. I'm excited for him to come back. And I'm excited for, you know, Julian Edelman. We still haven't even seen Julian Edelman.
We've been hearing good things, though. We're hearing he's looking fast out there. He's moving good. I just want to see, maybe, hopefully we see him week three, you know, just to get a couple snaps out there just to see how he's moving in an in-game environment.
Yeah, I think you see him next week. I think you do. I think you see him next week. That's the game that like I said, the dress rehearsal game. That's the game that you're going to want guys to be out there, especially a guy like Amendola, Edelman, who hasn't really seen full game speed action yet. He hasn't played in any of the first two preseason games. So you're going to want him to get, and you're obviously not going to play him. Like I said, you're not going to play him in week four. So this is the game to see full speed action before the regular season gets started. And honestly, what better team to do it against than, like you said, the NFC champs, one of the best defenses in all of football. Who better to go up against to get that live speed action than the Carolina Panthers? So I think you see him next week. I also think you see guys like Nate Ebner, who is back with the team this week. You know, all the guys who have been kind of practicing on the side, not really playing a lot, or haven't played at all. I think those are the guys that you're going to see come out and play in week three, whether it's at the end of the game or not. I think you're going to see those guys so they can just get their legs underneath them before the regular season gets going.
Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. They're revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing the saving directly to the consumer. Made right here in the U.S. of A., Casper mattresses provide long-lasting comfort and support, as I know from personal experience. I've never used a mattress this soft and this comfortable. And you can buy it easily online and completely risk-free, because Casper understands the importance of truly trying out a mattress that is, in all reality, you spend a third of your life on. Casper offers a free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period, so you don't have to lie down on a showroom. Studies have now proven lying on a bed in a showroom has no correlation to whether it is right bed for you. Get a Casper mattress for $500 for a twin or $950 for a king-size mattress, an unbelievable deal compared to the industry standards that cost thousands upon thousands. And you can save an additional $50 as one of our audience members by going to Casper.com/Celtics and entering the promo code Celtics. That's Casper.com/Celtics and promo code Celtics, CELTICS. Free shipping applies to U.S. and Canada customers only. Terms and conditions apply. So you brought it up, the Carolina Panthers next week. What are the key matchups? We've been speaking on, you know, offense, definitely how the offense will fare up against their defense. But I also, the thing about Carolina Panthers, they have a good offense as well. Cam Newton, you got Kevin Benjamin back, you got Frunches developing, Jonathan Stewart as their running back. This is Greg Olsen as their tight end. This is a very equipped offense as well, which are going to be better than they were last year, which is scary to even think about when it comes to the Panthers. I definitely want to see how our defense takes on Cam Newton. I don't know about you, Mike, but I still remember that game against the Panthers 2 years ago when we were supposed to win. They had that holding call, call on, I believe it was Gronkowski at the end in the end zone, and we lost that game, but I still have a little sour taste. I'm definitely looking forward to this game.
Absolutely. I still remember it. It was Luke Kuechly grabbed Rob Gronkowski right on his jersey, pulled him.
Yep.
I can see it in my head right now. But I'm with you. I mean, I'm totally ready for this game. I'm excited to see, like you said, the defense go up against this Carolina offense, because let's be honest. I mean, Greg Olsen, besides Rob Gronkowski, Greg Olsen is probably the second best tight end in football. I mean, he is a great football player. And for the first, half of the game, you're going to see him going up against guys like, I'm trying to figure out who's going to cover him. Is it going to be Jamie Collins? Is it going to be, a safety like McCourty? Is it going to be Patrick Chung, like you said? So, I mean, who's going to cover him? That's going to be an interesting matchup to look at. And then I think just the pass rush in general, I know that a lot of people today, I heard on the radio broadcast and the television broadcast today, that a lot of people were happy. We mentioned Anthony Johnson. It was Anthony Johnson's ability to set the edge and Rufus Johnson's ability to set the edge. And that's going to be crucial against a guy like Cam Newton, who loves to get out of the pocket and loves to run around. So if these guys can kind of collapse the pocket on him from the outside in, I think that's going to be huge. And then, the Patriots have not been as great as I would like to see in run defense. And then this is a team, obviously, in Carolina who loves to run the football. So I'd like to see the run defense against the Carolina Panthers with that big back, Jonathan Stewart. Obviously, Cam Newton can run the football as well. I'd like to see that. And then on the other side of the ball, I mean, we already mentioned the Carolina Panthers have one of the best defenses in all of football. They have Luke Kuechly, who might be the best individual linebacker in all of football. You know, they had, you know, Josh Norman up until this past offseason, obviously, but they have a solid pass rush. They have a lot of good players on that defense, a great scheme that they run. And, you know, it's going to be a real test for Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, who has, you know, he's gone up against not so great defenses over the past 2 weeks. Obviously, the New Orleans Saints were one of the worst defenses in football last year.
Trash.
And then the Chicago Bears weren't much better. So, nope. I mean, I know that a lot of people have been kind of lauding the Bears defense, saying they've gotten a lot better from last year. But still, I mean, I wasn't very impressed with their defense in this game. So, I mean, next week will be the real test with Jimmy Garoppolo, because like we said all along, everyone's going to be going all out in this third preseason game. They're going to be playing it like it's an actual regular season game for the most part. It's almost like you're treating it like, okay, we have a bye week next week because all the starters aren't going to play in week four. So this is going to be the real test for Garoppolo. He's going to have to go up against a really good defense with hopefully his full complement of weapons. I mean, I highly doubt that Gronkowski will be on the lineup next week because – I mean, he hasn't played in a preseason game since 2012, right? So, I mean, he's not going to be out there. But, you know, if Garoppolo's out there and he's got Martellus Bennett, Julian Edelman, LeGarrette Blount, you know, all these guys, I doubt you're going to see Amendola. But, hey, if you could possibly get an Amendola out there, that'd be great. If you could get the majority of the offensive weapons out on the field with Garoppolo for next week, I think you're really going to see what he's made of and what we're going to see, maybe a little bit of a preview into the regular season for sure.
You broke that down perfectly. You brought up their defense, and Jimmy Garoppolo is like, you brought up Luke Kuechly, who really reads the quarterback's eyes. You know what I'm saying? He's one of the best defenders out there. And when it comes to rookie quarterbacks or young quarterbacks, he eats them alive. Garoppolo's really going to have to, you know, move his eyes, really not look into one wide receiver's direction, which I thought he did a better job in this week, and get rid of that football, because it's like a regular season game, pretty much what you said. And they come out, and they're going to come out to hit. Running backs are going to need to pick up all the blitz that the Carolina Panthers do with a lot of blitz packaging that they have. And like you said, the Bears, horrible, horrible at defense. Saints, no better. And I knew they were horrible once I saw LeGarrette Blount go outside and was wide open freely to run. I was like, oh, boy, the Bears really are trash. But you will not see that with the Panthers. They're very disciplined. And I would like to see what the receivers do with Chris Hogan. I'd love to see how he'll fare against the secondary of the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think that, like you said, I mean, Garoppolo is I think a really big issue will be Luke Kuechly, because, like you said, he reads the quarterback's eyes, and Garoppolo has been a guy we've seen over the past couple weeks where he likes to go to the tight end. He threw a lot to AJ Derby tonight. He threw a lot to Martellus Bennett over the past couple weeks. So, I mean, he's a guy who likes to kind of throw those over-the-middle routes, those routes that Luke Kuechly will be covering. So that's going to be a real test. We saw that from week one to week two, like we said, Jimmy Garoppolo got better. He made less bad decisions. I think I really only saw him make one bad throw, like one bad decision throw in this game tonight. And it was, he kind of threw it into, it looked like he threw it into a spot where they thought was going to be there. But a defensive back jumped in. He really should have intercepted it. But
it should have been interception. I know what you're talking about.
Right. So I think that was really the only bad decision he made tonight. So from that standpoint, I think that's really good. But can he continue that into a week where he's going to be going up against a very, very high caliber defense? Like you said, I mean, the Bears, they were trash tonight. So, I mean, he's going up against a high-caliber defense next week. Is he going to be able to limit the bad decisions? Like you said, I mean, he still hasn't thrown an interception yet. So, I mean, he's probably due for one coming up at some point. And I feel like if he's going to throw one, he'll probably throw one next week. I wouldn't even be shocked if he threw one next week. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I think that it's going to be the real test. I think we're really going to get to see a glimpse into what we're going to get for the first four games. I mean, we're not going up against great defenses over the first 4 weeks. I mean, you know, the Bills have some individually good players, as do the Houston Texans.
The Bills have lost everybody, it seems like. Suspensions, injuries, they're just not looking
now. Yeah, that is true. So they'll probably be pretty garbage by the time we get there. But, and J.J. Watt, we don't even know if he'll be playing in that game in week three on Thursday Night Football. So, I mean, he's not going to be going up against this Carolina defense will, without question, be the most high-caliber defense, probably besides Arizona, that he's going to go up against. And I think Carolina's a little bit better than Arizona in defense. So, I mean, I think that this Carolina defense in week three of the preseason will be the toughest defense Garoppolo will face over this stretch that he's going to be playing. So you're really going to want to pay attention to how he does. I mean, it's going to be a real test, and then Arizona in week one is going to be a real test. And then after that, I think he's really going to have a pretty decent time after going up against these tough defenses.
Yeah, one more thought on that Carolina game. It's going to be tough for Garoppolo if he doesn't have Edelman out there, because when it comes to defense like Panthers, a way to really beat them is having those slot receivers or a check down guy like James White might be a huge factor in this Panthers game, because you won't really be able to throw it down the field as much as you like, because you won't have that much time to throw it down the field. You know, you really need guys to have quick separations, as Amendola does, as Edelman does. Maybe we'll see that with Chris Hogan and James White, Deion Lewis. Those are key factors what makes the Patriots so good and are able to beat any type of defense, because they have all those versatile guys when it comes to tough defenses, as we saw what they did to the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you know, I've liked what I've seen from James White over the first, you know, 2 weeks of the preseason. I think he's played well. Like we said, he didn't get any rushes today. He didn't get any carries, but he did have two catches. I think maybe they were just kind of – he got a lot of snaps in the first preseason game. Maybe, like you said, they were just trying to get a little bit of a better look at Gaffney this week. So maybe that's why he didn't play as many snaps. But, I mean, I've liked what I've seen from him. I think that it's going to be an issue if you come out there with just James White and LeGarrette Blount, because, we saw last year, I mean, if you had – defenses knew what was going to happen. I mean, if James White was on the field, it was going to be a halfback passing play. And if LeGarrette Blount was on the field, it was going to be a running play. So, I mean, Deion Lewis gave you a little bit of that dual threat run and catch type of play. Can James White bring that other part of his game around? Because I think that that's going to be critical. It's good. The fact that the Patriots have had such a tough time running the ball over the past couple of years is magnified by the fact that we don't have a guy who can do a little bit of everything. You know, we don't have that guy who can run the ball and catch the ball out of the backfield. Like, I mean, I know it's a little bit of an extreme example, but Le'Veon Bell. Well, we do, Deion Lewis, but I mean, he tore his ACL.
He's not available.
I mean, so,
yeah.
So we it's obviously still a question mark to see when he'll even come back and how good he'll be when he comes back, but I mean, I'm talking about guys like, I mean, there are teams like Pittsburgh Steelers obviously have Le'Veon Bell. You know, these backs who can, the prototypical all-around backs. I look at LeSean McCoy as an all-around back. You know, guys like that who can really run, catch. You don't know what they're going to do. You don't know on any given play whether he's going to run the ball or whether he's going to come out of the backfield. So I think Deion Lewis, you're right. I think he is that guy. But when are we going to see him? I mean, if we don't see him by week one, we're not going to see him until week seven. So,
which is,
I mean,
scary.
That could be a real issue.
That right there, that's scary right there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's besides Amendola, that's my top worry. You know, Amendola, Vollmer, all these guys, if we don't see them, they're all on physically unable to perform list. If we don't see them by week one, they have to miss the first 6 weeks of the season. And that is a real issue, for sure.
And I believe if, you know, Belichick and the coaching staff, if they see that Deion Lewis might not be able to be ready for week one, they will go out and try to get another running back out there, because I don't see this running back core being much of use. And before, this would never be a problem. I would never care about who our running back is. But Tom Brady's not on the field, folks. And now it gets, you know, magnified, the fact that we don't have a strong running back core. And I cannot be remiss if we don't bring up Jacoby Brissett real quickly. I mean, if anything happens to Garoppolo, we have to understand Brissett's going to be our starting quarterback. So, you know, Brissett played okay. He didn't play bad. I think similar to last week, he went 9 for 13, 87 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He should have had a touchdown to Derby that Derby just dropped, but played pretty well. He took three sacks, however. You know, he needs to get rid of that ball. But he looked good. That dude really does have a cannon. His deep balls are beautiful to see. He still needs to work on the short passes, but not bad from Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, I thought I thought that, like Jimmy Garoppolo, he improved from week one to week two. I mean, you didn't see as much of an improvement in Jacoby Brissett as you did from Jimmy Garoppolo, but I think he did get better from week one to week two. I agree with you. He did hold on to the ball a little bit. There was one of those sacks that he took where he dropped back, he held the ball, and it looked like he was going to throw it, made the decision at the last second that he was like, no, I'm going to run this ball like I did in college, and he got sacked right away. So, I mean, that's going to be one of those things where, hey, I mean, the game's a lot faster in the pros. So, I mean, you might not be able to bust that run outside. So you're going to have to sit in that pocket and throw the football. I mean, real quick on Garoppolo, we saw him do a little bit of elusiveness in the pocket, a little Tom Brady-esque in the pocket today, moving up in the pocket around.
Did you put elusiveness and Tom Brady in the same sentence?
Well, you know what I'm saying. In the pocket, Tom Brady is very elusive.
I know exactly what you're saying.
He makes that one step where he just steps up into the pocket and nobody can touch him. And I saw Jimmy Garoppolo do that in this week's game. So, I mean, that's an improvement. You're going to want to see that out of Jacoby Brissett for sure, because you're right. If Jimmy Garoppolo holds onto the ball too long one of these plays and gets rocked by some huge defensive lineman, and all of a sudden Jacoby Brissett is in the game, I mean, that's a little scary. You're talking about missing out on missing Deion Lewis and missing these guys for the first 6 weeks of the season. If Jacoby Brissett is your quarterback, that's going to be an issue. I like him. I agree with you. I think he's got a great arm. I think his deep balls are gorgeous. I think that he should have had that touchdown pass on that play to Derby. But, yeah, I don't want to see him out on the field in a game that matters yet. No way.
No, he's not ready. We're definitely grooming him. He looks good, but he looks good as a project. And let's hope he just stays as a project. But moving on, Mike, do you know what time it is, man?
I think I know what time it is.
It's time for the stars and sorries of the night. Now, people, if you don't know what stars of the night is, let me explain to you real quick. It's, you remember, Mike, when you got good grades, you went to show your parents, and sometimes you put it in the refrigerator just to look at it.
Oh, absolutely.
Just to reminisce. It's something like that's how players feel sometimes when they get the star of the night. You know, it's something they put on their Snapchat, their Instagrams, like, look what I just did, hashtag CLNS star of the night. It's a big deal. We have some options tonight. We put on Twitter, made a poll. So you guys are the ones who picked the stars of the night this week. And we have a lot of good options. But starting off, number three is going to be a tie. Number three star of the night goes to Cyrus Jones and Anthony Johnson. Both guys who really, you know, stepped. Cyrus Jones got that interception, of course, one of the highlights of the game for a rookie, looked good. Anthony Johnson, the guy who came out of nowhere, blew up their offensive line, got in the backfield for a couple of plays, two tackles for losses, a sack, looked really good out there. So they are deserving, definitely, for the third spot of the star of the night.
Yeah, definitely. I think we saw both of them play really well tonight. Like we said, I mean, Cyrus Jones with that interception. Anthony Johnson stepped up when everyone, you know, in front of him got hurt. He stepped up. And, you know, they're making pushes for depth chart spots. And I think they both made a really strong case this week.
Definitely. Number two star of the week, a guy I hope I'll be saying his name for the next 4 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks. Jimmy Garoppolo. Soon we're all going to be calling him Jimmy G if he keeps playing so well. Jimmy G stepped up today. He balled out. Definitely an improvement. Excuse me. Definitely an improvement from last week. Went 16 for 21, 181 yards, 2 for touchdown, no sacks, no interceptions, QB rating of 117. It was a good game from Garoppolo. And if he plays like this in the season, I won't be mad at all.
Yeah, man, it's all about improvement. And like we said, he improved from week one to week two. Now we got to see him improve from week two to week three and just keep it going, man. He is showing us that he knows what he's doing out there. He shows that he can make some things happen. We just got to see him keep on improving.
And the number one star of the night has to go to your guy, AJ Derby. He balled out, people. He was the number one receiver of the game. 6 receptions, 71 yards, had a nice touchdown, could have had another. You know, he was a star, man. I agree with the fans. He was the guy tonight, AJ Derby.
Yeah, he looked great. I mean, he's a big dude out there, too. I mean, he's a guy who's got that Gronk-type body structure, you know, the big, burly tight end. It looks like he's really athletic. Looks like he can move out there. Looks like he's got some pretty decent hands. Like you mentioned, when he made that really big catch in traffic, got hit, took the hit, still held on to the football. I think he's going to make a push to that third tight end spot. I think he could definitely make this team. He looked really good tonight. I was very impressed.
I hope he does make this team. I know the announcers were talking about how this possibility he couldn't make the team if, you know, Patriots go for a blocking tight end and whatnot. But with Gronkowski always being a question mark with injuries, I think AJ Derby really solidified his spot with that third tight end. I mean, this guy, like you said, is a big dude. He's 6'5", 255-pound athletic, and he proved how athletic he was. Great hands. I'm excited about AJ Derby becoming one of my favorite guys so far in these training camps.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying him. And, you know, from everything we've heard coming out of practices, he's been doing this all year so far. He's been doing it in training camp. He's doing it in both games so far. So, I mean, hey, if anyone's making a push to make a roster spot, it's definitely this guy, for sure.
Of course. Now, when there's the good, there's the bad. And here, when you're bad, we tell you sorry. Now, I have two candidates right now for the sorry of the night. You don't want to be a sorry of the night, Mike. It's never pretty being the sorry of the night. It's a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, I bet it is.
So, this, for number two, sorry, has to go to my guy, Brandon Bolden. Now, Brandon Bolden, you have to understand this. We need all the help we can get with this running back position right now. You've been our special teams guy. We've loved you. Anytime your name gets called up in the big games, you show up, you do the best you can. But there's a simple rule in football. When you're running to the right, you put the football in your right hand. When you're running left, you put the football on your left arm, because if you don't, it's easy to get stripped. See, you got away with it the first time when you did it tonight. But the second time, Tracy Porter. Yes, he's still in the league, guys. Tracy Porter stripped you for the fumble that killed all momentum just when Jimmy G felt like he was starting something there. And so for that, we have to give you the sorry of the week. So, Brandon Bolden, sorry. Yikes. Number one, man, I think this might be a first. And if Mike Nice hears about this, he's going to be so disappointed. But Thomas the Brady. Alonji spoke on this earlier. what the hell were you doing with scissors in your hands in the first place? There are equipment guys around that you could call upon. Hey, maybe you don't trust equipment guys no more, because last time you trusted them, we know how that went. But you could have done something. Scissors? You cut yourself with scissors? Scissors? I don't think I've ever in my life cut myself with scissors. Maybe a knife. But what kind of scissors was he using that he had to cut himself? Tom Brady, the quarterback of the New England Patriots. What is going on?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think that, like, from everything I've seen, like, scissors in general, like, you can't really cut yourself with scissors unless you actually, like, close the scissors on your skin, right? Like, I think that, like, unless he's using some really, really sharp scissors, there's really kind of, I think I need a little bit more of an explanation here from Tom Brady, for sure.
Definitely. It reminds me of the time when beginning a couple years ago with the Celtics, Rondo injured himself to begin the season. They said he slipped in the shower.
Oh, right. Yeah, I remember that.
And it never really sat well with me.
Me neither.
I just never could. Slept in the shower and just broke your arm, huh? Oh, okay. But Tom Brady, you are the number one. Sorry. So here on CLNS, we're going to give you a big old sorry. Woo. Alonji, man, you held it down this week.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Definitely. I hope everyone has a great, great, great night. This post-game show will be available for on-demand download by searching for the CLNS Radio New England Patriots post-game show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. Today's show was brought to you today by Casper's Mattress, www.casper.com/Celtics for $50 off any mattress purchase, and Blue Apron, blueapron.com/Celticsbeat for 3 free meals with free shipping. Want to thank today everybody who really tuned in. For CLNS Radio's Patriot Content Manager, of course, my co-host, Michael Longy, who held it down. See everyone back here next week when the Patriots take on the NFC champs, the Carolina Panthers. Take care and have a good night.